Welcome to the Standing Up to POTS podcast, otherwise known as the POTScast. This podcast is dedicated to educating and empowering the community about postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, commonly referred to as POTS. This invisible illness impacts millions, and we are committed to explaining the basics, raising awareness, exploring the research, and empowering patients to not only survive, but thrive. This is the Standing Up to POTS podcast.
Hello, fellow POTS patients and lovely people who care about POTS patients. I'm Jill Brook, your horizontal host, and today we have an episode of the POTS Diaries with Bria. Bria, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so let's start by just getting to know you a little bit. What is the basics about Bria?
Okay, well, yeah, my name's Bria. I live in Mid Wales. I'm currently pretty much living where I grew up, but I've lived across different parts of the UK and also abroad. I currently work for a disability rights charity, but my background is in like theatre and arts. I live with my partner and my cat and, yeah, live with lots of different weird and wonderful health conditions. And, yeah, I'm excited to be here to talk about it and to, yeah, contribute to, I guess, the community that I've received a lot of support from. So happy to be here.
Yeah. Oh, we're excited to talk to you. Okay, so maybe first tell us a little more about you. What would your friends and family say is your personality?
Oof, that's a hard question. A lot of people describe me as quite driven, which is weird for me because I think I don't necessarily see myself as very driven, empathetic, caring, but also, I guess, over the years, you know, I think in some ways having long-term health conditions like really does impact us and people. So I'd be curious to ask them again what they think of all those things are still true.
Okay. And if we make you brag about yourself, what are you good at?
Oof. I'm good at lying down horizontally. I'm good at looking after my cat. She's my whole world. I think I'm good at my job. I'm good at talking. I'm good at talking about to listen to people and their problems and help them solve them. And especially if they're like around health and fitness and things like that, because I feel like you gain so much knowledge when you live with long-term health conditions. So I do love talking about that with people. I think it's like, I get a special buzz from helping someone else because obviously, you know, I've received a lot of help in the past myself. So it's nice to do that back to someone.
Well, that's so nice. That's lovely. Okay. So I had asked you before we started if you had ever had a life before POTS, and you said you did. So I'm wondering, how long ago is that? And can you describe what your life looked like, say, in that year before POTS entered your life?
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, the journey's kind of been a really strange one. So I think the first time I had symptoms was in my final year of my bachelor's degree. So at the time I was studying at a drama school, an acting school. I was super active, probably the most, yeah, active I ever was in my life. And I just, you know, when I think back to it, I remember one time I went out for lunch and I had like a super carb heavy meal. And then I remember trying to walk home and I remember feeling this really strange fatigue and like this inability to walk. I felt like my limbs just weren't my own. And I remember thinking, but I'm a student, I can't afford to get a taxi back. Like, how am I going to walk home? And I look back from that now and I go, oh, I think that was the first time I ever had symptoms. For me, like then I had symptoms, but they really weren't every day. They didn't necessarily impact my life. So I went on to do my master's degree in theater directing, and I did that in the Czech Republic. But that was around the time when I started realizing what it was. And I think the only reason I made the connection between what I was experiencing was because I also have hypermobility. And, you know, I knew a lot of people with hypermobility had this condition and the symptoms were similar. So, but like I said, it wasn't until I think 2020 that my symptoms started to become daily and really sort of impacting my life. So I had quite a few years where it didn't bother me so much, and I kind of could ignore it, which was useful because, you know, I wasn't getting diagnosed. I think the first time I told a doctor, like, I think I have this condition, they said, well, even if I diagnosed you with it, like, there's nothing you can do about it, so let's not bother. And at the time, I didn't know that that wasn't necessarily the truth. So I didn't pursue a diagnosis until much later. And overall, it took me 8 years from the moment I learned the word POTS to officially getting a diagnosis. And unfortunately, I had to go private at least 2 times to get that diagnosis, which I think had I not done that, I might still not have had a diagnosis today, to be honest. I only got access to medication at the beginning of this year. So it was even longer to get, you know, sort of a treatment plan started. So it's been, a kind of wild ride, but something I think the majority of people with this condition have experienced. And it is weird for me to think that I've had this for 8 years, but, you know, at least like 4 of those were completely different to what my kind of day-to-day life is now. And that's really hard to deal with, I think, when you can like look back and go, well, I did have POTS then, but I could walk for hours a day. I could do a master's degree, and things I just couldn't do now.
Wow. Okay. So there's a lot to dig in, but can I just confirm that you said it took you 8 years after you knew you had POTS?
Yeah.
To get a diagnosis?
Yeah, 8 years.
Wow. Okay. So can you talk more about what you just said about your symptoms changing? Have they gotten worse despite you maybe now having more support and access to treatments?
Yeah, it's a real mystery. And I don't know why, but, and I, you know, I think about it a lot, and I run all these, my own experiments at home, and I try and replicate like what was I doing, you know, in before 2020 that I don't do now, but nothing has kind of really changed the severity of the symptoms. You know, my hypermobility has also gotten worse. I also got diagnosed with endometriosis around the same time. So I kind of wonder if there was just a general kind of, I don't know, increasing of those conditions that led to the POTS becoming, the symptoms becoming so prevalent that I was, you know, very aware that I was living with it, rather than before that, it was something that would hit me every now and again. It's I don't know why. And it is really frustrating. So I've had to really learn how to live with this condition only really in the last sort of 4 to 5 years, that it's been a steep learning curve for sure.
So can I ask what kind of symptoms are your most debilitating these days?
So I think the one that bothers me the most is the extreme fatigue and brain fog. So about at midday every day, and this again is a mystery to me why this happens, I'll suddenly feel extreme fatigue. And sometimes I'll look at the clock and I go, oh yeah, it's midday. It's about the time this will happen. And that usually is, you know, when I'm at work, so I'm sat down. So for me, it wasn't obvious at the time that that was a POTS symptom, because I was so used to that being heart palpitations and low blood pressure, high heart rate when walking or standing, etc. But for me, that's probably the one. If I could, you know, wish one symptom away, it would probably be that, because it can really obviously impact your ability to concentrate, to work, even, you know, when you're relaxing and you just want to read or watch TV. So that's, yeah, really frustrating. And the kind of impact on my ability to like move around, I would say, is really hard as well. Like, I used to love going on really long walks. Like, I live in a really beautiful part of the world. There's lots of like amazing walks to go on. And I used to go on sort of like hour long walks with my dad. I remember when I was writing my dissertation, and I think back to that now, I think, I don't know if I couldn't do that every day. I can like, you know, walk 5 minutes and then my vision starts to go blurry. So yeah, it's those things that can be really, really hard to adjust your life to. But I think I'm in a place now where, you know, I know my body a lot better and know what is going to trigger it. And I can kind of, you know, find, you learn how to find workarounds to still, you know, kind of do the things you enjoy in life.
So what kinds of things trigger you nowadays?
Definitely walking, definitely eating heavy meals, which is hard for me because I love to just, I love to eat. But I've definitely learned that to like kind of split my meals up into smaller portions throughout the day, which is easy for me because I work from home. And I think, but I also often think like, if you don't have access to your fridge, that's just, you know, sort of downstairs, like how people deal with that. I like even just sleep, like if I have even just like 7 hours instead of 8 hours, I really notice the difference. And it makes you kind of feel like, I don't know, like a princess that needs, you know, lots and lots of sleep. But that definitely has an impact on my life. So I really do work hard to kind of look after myself in all the ways that I can control, so that I give myself the best chance to kind of not have too many symptoms during the day. But that in itself is like a full-time job, you know, like managing all of those things, thinking about what you're going to eat, planning your day ahead, making sure you've got time to rest. It's can also be just as exhausting as the condition itself.
Yeah. So can I ask, in addition to trying to get enough sleep, what else helps you the most these days?
I've been kind of playing around with some like different supplements, and I'm still sort of like tracking those. It's hard for me to say like whether that they specifically help with parts or just help me manage symptoms like the fatigue symptoms. Definitely also things like I've explored like low histamine diets or reducing gluten and dairy. Again, it's hard to know if that's just helping things like my endometriosis and overall wellness rather than kind of addressing like the kind of root cause of what. Like movement is definitely an important part of my life, but it's really hard to do. Obviously, with POTS, I think in some ways, because I was super active when I was like first had POTS, it was kind of easier for me to maintain some sort of like ability to be active whilst my condition got worse. And I kind of, I'm still working out what that sweet spot is between doing some sort of movement that helps manage my POTS, but that isn't too much that then I experience fatigue from it. And also I know how important sort of like strengthening my muscles is for my hypermobility. So that is really important to do, but sometimes it feels like it's very hard to do when you have a condition that, you know, I can be like doing a leg press and suddenly, you know, my vision goes and it's like, okay, I'm helping one condition, I'm making the other one worse, but we'll take it. Those are some of my main go-tos. Obviously things like electrolytes. Medication wise is a hard one for me. It's I'm on it on some now, but I don't think it's had a huge impact, to be honest. If anything, since being on it, I think my symptoms have been the same. So that's definitely something. I haven't explored all my options there, but definitely something I might find something that works better for me in the future.
Yeah. So you had talked about such an intriguing past that I would love to hear more about too. You had said that you majored in arts and theater, and then you got a master's in theater directing. But then I think you mentioned that you're now working in patient advocacy. Is that correct? And did your own health kind of guide that career decision, or how has this affected your work?
Yeah, I think it's a strange one. I think after my master's degree, I was always doing kind of projects that had a real strong kind of social justice political foundation. And I think after many years of doing that, I kind of decided I just wanted to do the kind of helping other people thing, not necessarily through arts in an explicit way. And I also think at that time, you know, my POTS wasn't so bad, but my the kind of like living with chronic pain was pretty bad. And I think that also played a part in that decision of, you know, is this kind of life of running around and making theater with not much money like actually accessible to me at that time? So I kind of decided to pivot to work for charities because I felt like that was the direct way to kind of help people. And then over the years, I've been really lucky to kind of focus that on now working for for a charity that specifically works to fight for kind of rights for people, for disabled people. And that obviously really closely aligns with my own experience. And yeah, it's definitely kind of the most fulfilled I felt in a role. And I specifically work in there in campaigns. So we campaign for, you know, to improve legislation or conditions and things like that. So yeah, it's definitely super rewarding and I really love doing it. And I'm also currently training to become a counselor, and that's something, that's a very long term project. I'm nowhere near qualified, but it's a kind of hope for the future, and I'd really love to maybe like specialize in helping people with long-term health conditions and how you deal with that from a kind of mental health and emotional perspective, something I'm really interested in doing in the future as well.
That's great. That's so wonderful. You know, it's funny because you've made me think about how I think POTS has some unique parts to it that make it in need of some of the things that you do. And so here's my example. Like, everybody understands certain kinds of disabilities. And if you need a wheelchair, that's not, you know, a big deal. And if you need a ramp or whatnot. But for example, I'm deathly afraid of getting called into jury duty because I could not sit upright for even 1 hour, much less eight.
Yeah.
And I don't know that that would be understood by anybody. And like, for the mast cell activation syndrome, I don't think I'd be able to sit there if anyone were wearing perfume or fragrance. And that's another accommodation that nobody ever talks about. You never hear about it. And I just worry that because our little family of conditions is not well understood, that it doesn't yet have accommodations of the type that would actually help us in some ways.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the kind of thing that I think about that keeps me up at night. And I feel really lucky that I work in a place where they're so supportive. They, you know, make all the accommodations that you need, and there's no like questioning about it. And, you know, when you have these kind of weird and wonderful and invisible conditions, then, you know, there's always that dread moment of trying to explain to someone like why you might need a seat when, especially, you know, if by other kind of perception, you look, you know, quote unquote, well. And when you work in a place where they really, you know, work hard to give you those accommodations, you realize, oh, this is how it could be. And it's actually not hard, and it doesn't take a lot of time, and it doesn't take loads more resources. It just takes an attitude shift in the most part. And suddenly, you know, I feel super empowered to ask for the things I need. And then I'm able to kind of get on with what I want to do, what I love to do. And I think, yeah, your example of jury duty is exactly that. Like, you might really want to do jury duty, but how would you, yeah, go about tackling all of those individual needs when you know that that might not be something anyone's ever raised before to them? So they wouldn't even maybe begin to understand how to help. But I do think things are shifting in some spaces, which is great. And I think connecting online and through like these kind of like this podcast is definitely a way that, you know, it's all about spreading messages as well. And I think it all does help in the long run.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's great. Can you talk more about what you do with legislation? Because that sounds really important.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, so currently, so in the UK, there are proposed cuts to disability benefits that have been proposed by the current government. So we've been working really hard to kind of campaign against that and build support, yeah, against it. It's a big kind of big campaign for us, and obviously really concerning. And, you know, I know there will be people with POTS and with, I like what you said about family of conditions. I think that's a really great way of explaining the kind of conditions that come along with it, who will be impacted by those. So, you know, it's also feels quite personal to me as well to be working on something like that.
Yeah. Is there anything that you know now that you wish you had known sooner about living with this?
I think I saw this really nice sort of phrase. Someone said DIY healthcare, and it was like a TikTok video of someone saying they had mast cell activation syndrome, and they said, like, you know, they saw someone else on TikTok, and they were using this specific antihistamine, and they tried it and it's like really helped them. And I was like, that's exactly how I've learned all my best tips and tricks, is like through the internet, to be honest. And so I kind of wish I got on TikTok sooner, because there's so many things I've learned, and loads of things I've tried that haven't helped me either. But, you know, there's something about sharing those tips that also like helps build the sense of like not being alone as well. So even if it's just like a type of electrolyte, or, you know, a time of day to eat or avoid eating, or, you know, when's best to put on the compression socks, and people just like trying small things. And I always say that sometimes I'll find something and it will improve my symptoms by like 2%, which seems like nothing. But actually, when you live with a chronic health condition, that 2% can actually mean everything. And if you find like 10 things that help you by 2%, that's 20%. It can make a huge difference. Yeah, just this, there's so many things that, you know, I didn't even know about electrolytes for many years, to be honest. Like I said, I was diagnosed in 2024, so officially. So, you know, I wasn't really onto the basic stuff. So even just having that information years ago could have really helped.
So it sounds like you didn't have a really obvious trigger. I mean, that's my situation, where it kind of came on slowly over years, and I can maybe guess at a trigger, but it's hard to know. Is that what your situation is?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. And that always makes it harder, because you just don't know. Yeah. I'm guessing you don't know the underlying cause of your POTS. And so when you're experimenting, it's almost like you have to say, well, let's just pretend I have autoimmunity and do the things for that this month and see what happens. And next month, I'll just pretend I have MCAS and do all the things that are good for that. And is that kind of how you're approaching things?
100%. I have so many spreadsheets or so many failed experiments. Me and ChatGPT every week scheming to find some new angle. I started doing like at-home testing now for things like, I think I did recently, I mean, it's not like super conclusive, but one for like histamine levels. And that came back like fairly normal. So I was like, okay, maybe, you know, putting all my effort into looking at like sort of lowering my histamine levels might not work. I recently had an MRI on my neck, because I was kind of wondering if there was something structural that was maybe making my POTS worse, because I was also experiencing a lot of pain. And it turns out I have early degenerative disc disease, which is very much probably just like genetics and linked to the hypermobility. And I asked the surgeon, like, so you don't think it would relate to my POTS? And he was like, no. He was like, almost sorry for me, because he was like, I know you want to like keep yourself bait to kind of go, oh, that's what it is. And he was like, it's probably, you know, people with hypermobility are very likely to have POTS. It's probably, you know, that connective tissue kind of root cause, which obviously is very, you know, it's, I don't know of a way to address that apart from managing the symptoms. So it's frustrating. I'm very much a data person, and I like to have answers. So it does bother me, but in a way it keeps me going in that kind of like, I'm always like hopeful that I'll find something that will help, when whether that's delusion or resilience, I don't know, but.
Yeah, no, I really relate to it. It's like you are a part-time detective, but being a detective is not an uninteresting job. So
I think maybe I should like sidestep into detective work, because yeah, the investigations are endless, and I think I must enjoy doing it, because I'm like smiling talking about it. So but please, that's not gonna be my hobby now. When people ask me what are your hobbies, I'll just say investigating. I won't tell
that's
them what.
Funny. I have been doing the same thing with ChatGPT. Have you found any particular model to be the best for your needs?
I don't know if I know about models. I just have various threads for all my conditions, and tell them all my every neurotic thought I have, and today I noticed this thing, and yesterday I did this, is there a connection? And sometimes there is, and you know, sometimes we figured this stuff out. Like, I think recently I knew I was having some sort of gut problem, like, and there are, you know, there's so many different, like, gut health is becoming like quite a, I don't know, prolific thing. And I was kind of thinking of going to see a gut specialist, but was, you know, like, oh, I might need to sort of save up money to do that. And I just, you know, from imparting loads of information, I was like, right, what's the most likely of all of these gut problems might I have? And he mentioned what he, I call him he, which is terrible, I know. Then I was like, okay, what would be the first, like, sort of treatment option? And spoke about a specific probiotic. And I started taking it, and actually my symptoms have like almost gone away that I was experiencing specifically.
Wow.
So that was one of the first times my investigations has actually worked. So I'm living on that high at the moment. So, I mean, that's like one of 20 different interventions I've come up with, and that has, you know, only that one has worked, but you know, a win is a win.
Yes, absolutely. And I've been playing around with different models, and the ChatGPT with the deep research is the one that has blown me away. And same thing as you, like 20 times a day, every thought. The one that I just did on nutrition was I thought, you know, I could do the work to see what are the commonalities in the foods that I either tolerate or don't tolerate, but I'd rather just give it to ChatGPT and see what they say. So I said, okay, I tolerate all these things. I do not tolerate all of these things. Here's the conditions I have. Here's some symptoms I have. Does this make sense from a FODMAP standpoint? What are the next foods I should try if I want to test out some theories? Could this have anything to do with, you know, salicylates or oxalates or histones? And it was amazing. And in the end, it ended up giving me its theory about what was happening and some next steps I could try. And then I had it make me a week-long menu out of the foods that I do tolerate. And I told it how many calories I wanted it to add up to per day. And I thought, oh my goodness, like I'm not recommending this, you know, everybody at home, you know, check with your medical team. But doing this little playful experiment first, I think it brings up so many important points, and especially when it comes to just the busy work, like anybody can go look up what foods are in this category or that category, and you know, is there a theme to what you're tolerating or not? But that takes a lot of time. That's a pain in the neck. But ChatGPT does it in seconds. And anyway, I am just agreeing with you that that is an interesting new thing to try, and that's fascinating that it did it find like a particular probiotic strain or a particular probiotic brand that you should consider
trying? A particular strain. And it was like one, because I tried probiotics before and it was, I didn't realize that this one specifically was, I can't remember, but it like works slightly differently to how most probiotics work. So it was, you know, potentially just something I never would have come across had I not use ChatGPT. And I think you're right, like there's obviously it can't replace medical advice, but I also think there's something about having a place to dump all those thoughts that's also just really therapeutic, you know. And I think, you know, I share all my thoughts with my partner and he's incredibly patient and listens to them, but I think it's like helpful for me to have someone else to dump all this information, and obviously they remember it as well. So I definitely am hearing what you say, and I found it really helpful.
Yeah. And I guess, okay, one more time for legal reasons, we're not recommending this anybody. This is probably dangerous, terrible advice. You know, work with your medical providers. But I have to say one additional thing I like about working with ChatGPT is that at the end, if it does come to a conclusion that here's some supplements to consider or something like that, you can do the next step and say, okay, well, I'm really sensitive to a lot of excipients. Mm-hmm. Find me the brands that have the fewest allergens or the fewest excipients. And then it can do all that busy work for you too. And I mean, it's like getting, I mean, so many hours with either, you know, a professional who might do those things for you, or if you had to do them yourself, it would take so long.
Definitely.
So that's really smart. So, okay, I've been wanting to ask you this since the beginning. Can you tell us more about your home? Because did you say you live in Wales?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I live in Mid Wales.
Okay, Mid Wales. So can you just talk more about that? My vision of Wales is that it's just so green and beautiful and lush. And I don't know, is that correct? Can you tell us more about your hometown?
Yeah, I mean, it is not everywhere. Obviously, that we have cities and towns, and I live in a kind of small town. But you know, even just my back garden backs onto a woods, and so you know, I wake up every day with birds singing, which I find like maybe that's something I've also feel like helps calm my nervous system and definitely helps with his parts. So I feel really lucky to have be living around so much nature. And yeah, I mean, you know, if you'd ask young Bria, like, or told her, you know, you'd be living back in Mid Wales as a, you know, as a teenager, I would have laughed at you. But it's funny how we kind of get drawn back home. And there's a specific Welsh word that I don't think has an English translation, and it's hiraeth. And it kind of, if you were to try and translate it, it's like the specific longing for home that you get with Wales. So I think there's a magic there that brought me back, basically, and that's head ice.
Wow. Okay, and one more question. So as somebody with a master's degree in theater, what do you consider to be like top theater productions that people should see if they want to see just amazing theater?
Well, I might disappoint you here because the kind of theater I did was like alternative and kind of more installation and artistic. And the one downside of living in Mid Wales is that there isn't really any theatre, I think. So I haven't really seen much. Yeah, I haven't been to the theatre in a long time, unfortunately. So I don't know what's good anymore.
And one more funny just commentary. So my husband, who's like, you know, he's an engineer and a computer guy and very much like in that world, he always talks about how the one summer he spent doing theater in high school and learning theater games was like the most helpful, productive thing he ever learned in his whole life. And he always talks about this because it helped him, I think, like know how to bring energy to meetings or presentations or things like that. And I was just, you know, I've always thought that that was interesting, that meant so much to him. But I don't know, what does that mean to you? Like, what do you feel like you gained certain skills that you use every day?
Yeah, definitely. I think I'm not a super confident person. I'm not really an introvert, but I'm definitely not an extrovert. But I do, you know, notice the difference when I'm, say, like in a working environment with maybe people who have done theater and who haven't. And like, I think if you haven't done theater, you can still be super confident and an amazing presenter. But I do feel like that kicks in and helps me when doing like presentations or speaking. I find myself, you know, I always get nervous to do things, but I kind of, I don't know, I've done worse things than stand up and, you know, kind of give a speech or something as myself. So there's always that to compare it to, and it kind of helps me be maybe a bit more brave to do things.
Yeah. Okay. So back to POTS. Do you feel like it has taught you any life lessons?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like I'm going through a real like transformational time with it at the moment. Like, you know, we're kind of talking about all these experiments and, you know, trying to find ways to improve the symptoms. But there's also a part of me that's trying to find ways to accept it. And I think that is a real learning curve, and it's teaching me a lot about myself. I'm kind of trying to hold two truths at the same time. One that, you know, I want to keep working to find ways to treat my condition, but also find ways to live with it and to accept it and to not make it the enemy, essentially. And one of the ways I kind of have been doing that is by thinking about, okay, POTS, yeah, you know, the fatigue, the brain fog, the heart palpitations suck, like, that's objective, but actually does it give me anything positive? And actually, you know, when you meet people with these kind of family of conditions, like, I definitely notice similarities in our personalities, and some of those are amazing things. Like, everyone like is highly empathetic. You know, I always got called sensitive as a kid, but actually I learned that's just being able to empathize with people. And that, to me, is such an amazing quality. And I think, you know, I'm really interested in evolution and genetics and stuff. And sometimes I wonder, you know, does my body react like this because I'm living in an environment that isn't, you know, like, doesn't suit me? But in a different kind of context, maybe not all of these symptoms would come as, you know, like would be an illness. It would be, you know, a power, you know, our ability to sense changes in our environment is a type of intelligence. It just, you know, it does happen to suck most of the time, but I do think there's something there. And at least, you know, if it's not, it doesn't really change anything, but it does help me reframe how I feel about having POTS and having my other health conditions as well. And I think, you know, it is a part of me that I want to learn to kind of accept and find the power in it and find the strength in it as well. But that doesn't mean that every day I won't get upset and I won't get frustrated and I won't maybe grieve, like, you know, the life I used to have. And it's how do you kind of exist in the world and have both those things be true at the same time? And it's really challenging, but that's something I'm learning and want to, yeah, continue to kind of learn more about.
Yeah. Okay, well, are you willing to do a speed round where we ask your poor oxygen-starved brain to just spit out the first word that comes to mind?
Sure.
Okay, great. What is your favorite way to get salt?
Oh, it has to be my element. Salty, spicy, mango. I can't remember what they call it. Specific electrolytes. It tastes like a margarita without the tequila, which is pretty good.
Okay. So next question is the drink you find the most hydrating. Is that the same?
I guess it's just, yeah, just I've been a drink like 10 liters of water a day girl since I was like 14. Probably not 10 liters anymore. So I always choose water over anything else. So I've got to go with H2O.
Okay. What is your favorite time of the day and why?
Probably like 7 o'clock. And I've noticed quite a lot of other people who have come on the podcast have said the evening. And I have this theory about like, maybe we're vampires and maybe we're supposed to operate in the evening and the night, maybe not the night, but like the evening. Because I was like, oh, okay. It's not just me, because midday for me is danger zone. But then come 6, 7 PM, I feel like, oh, I could do all these things I definitely couldn't do a few hours ago. So yeah, I find that really interesting. So I'd say 7 p.m.
Interesting. Okay. Where is your favorite place to spend time and why?
Ooh, I love a hammock. I don't have one at the moment. So if I can put a hammock in my garden and be there with it on a sunny day, reading a book with the birds singing and maybe my cat joining me, that would be, yeah, close to perfection.
How many doctors have you ever seen for what turned out to be POTS?
Too many and probably not enough. I think, yeah, to be honest, the best healthcare professionals I see are like, we've got like my physiotherapist and my counselor who I see privately. Shout out to them. They're the ones that see me like as a holistic, like whole person and are interested in all of the different symptoms. I don't really get to see like sort of doctors on a regular basis, unfortunately. So not enough doctors, I guess.
How many other POTS patients have you ever met face-to-face?
You know, I think it's only one. Yeah. And that was quite recently. So I never met anyone with the same conditions as me until recently. Yeah.
What's one word that describes what it's like living with a chronic illness?
Confusing, I would say, because you don't have all the answers and you want the answers and you just kind of go in the loop on for guesswork, and that can be very confusing.
What is some good advice you try to live by?
I'm trying to live by, like, I guess the mantra of let it go. People keep saying this to me, and so I think it's good advice. I haven't quite mastered it, but I'll say let it go.
What is something small or inexpensive that brings you comfort or joy?
My heated blanket or something like that. I feel like even in, like, it doesn't get too hot here in Wales, although it's quite warm at the moment, so I can kind of have that comfort and also use it as then like a pain, you know, like heat pack. So it's multifunctional.
Who is someone that you admire?
I would say my partner, because they're incredibly patient and hardworking and didn't know anything about, you know, POTS or hypermobility and worked like super hard to learn about it so they could help me on this journey. And yeah, that I think it's really important to have people like that in your life.
Aw, yay, shout out. Thank you. What is something that you're proud of?
Maybe doing this. Maybe, like, you know, being here and talking about it in a positive way and not giving up and not giving up. Yeah, fighting.
What is the toughest thing about POTS?
I think for me, the toughest thing is that 1 minute, you know, I can feel like I don't have POTS and the next I can't walk and I have to be in bed. And I think that's really hard to deal with, that kind of up and down. You know, you had plans at X amount of time to go for a walk and then suddenly you can't, but another day you might be able to. It's really hard to organize and plan your life and to get your head around. And yeah, and that's always going to be quite frustrating.
What's an activity you can enjoy even when you're feeling really potsy?
Probably it's like reading, and even, or if I like the physical act of reading is hard. Like I really enjoy listening to audiobooks. So, and they can be quite distracting as well. So definitely leaning to that when I'm not feeling good.
What helps you fall asleep, if anything?
Magnesium, eye mask, not too hot of a room, not too cold, and breathing. I really forget to breathe sometimes. It does work, I promise.
What helps give you energy, if anything?
Sometimes like a small movement, like even if it's just being on the floor and like sort of moving my body in a like purposeful way can really, it's the hardest thing to do because when you're feeling terrible, but actually if I can get myself there and do that, I'll almost always feel a bit more energized afterwards.
Have you ever had to sit down or lie down in a weird place because of POTS? And if so, where was the weirdest?
Oh, yeah. I mean, before, yeah, gigs, just sat down. Been, you know, the early days where you're learning, you don't quite know what your limits are. It's always like stripping off the layers. And when you get over here, that's a good one. A lot of crouching in train stations when there's no room. See, it's probably not that weird, but stuff like that.
So last question, is there anything you'd like to say to your fellow POTS patients out there listening, especially the ones who might be having a rough day today?
I think reach out to people. And even if that's just in online spaces, I think it can be really hard. Like we were saying before, I hadn't met anyone with POTS before until recently. And I think it really made a difference when I, you know, met people online that, you know, had the same similar experiences to me. And it doesn't necessarily change anything, but it definitely makes you feel less alone. And to remember that this is a big part of our lives, but we are both, you know, it is both part of us, but also it's not the whole picture. And that we can kind of reframe it, but it's also okay to have days where you're angry and frustrated. But you can also have days when you feel strong and resilient, and both things can be true at the same time.
And you know what? I have to ask you one more question since you are a professional patient advocate. What do you wish more people understood about POTS?
That it's dynamic, that just because someone has it doesn't mean they're going to be the same or present the same every day. And I think when I was going through my diagnosis, you know, I always had this fear that people wouldn't believe me because one day I could do something and the next day I couldn't. And I remember when I got my diagnosis, you know, I was trying to pay for parking in the hospital and I was just bawling my eyes out. Because, and I remember saying like, I wasn't making it up, you know, and even though I knew for 8 years I wasn't making it up, I think that was a part of me that, you know, kind of let that thought, you know, fester a bit. And I think that causes so much pain for people, you know, to live in a world where people maybe don't believe them or make them feel kind of not believed. So I wish people understood how complex the condition was so that that could kind of be stopped from people's experience of it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, Bria, it's been so lovely talking to you. Thank you for all of your insights. Thank you for sharing your story. And I know that everybody listening is really pulling for you to just have the best possible future. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
Okay, listeners, that's all for today. We'll be back again next week, but until then, thank you for listening. Remember, you're not alone, and please join us again soon.
As a reminder, anything you hear on this podcast is not medical advice. Consult your healthcare team about what's right for you. This show is a production of Standing Up to POTS, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can send us feedback or make a tax-deductible donation at www.standinguptopots.org. You can also engage with us on social media at the handle Standing Up to POTS. If you like what you heard today, please consider subscribing to our podcast and sharing it with your friends and family. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts or at www.thepotscast.com. Thanks for listening.